So our guest today is Blair Pleasant, who's President and Principal Analyst of Comfusion LLC and co-founder of UCStrategies.com. It's an industry resource on the growing UC arena.
We're going to talk to Blair about user adoption and what's coming up in the industry, so stay tuned for a lot more information.
Heads in the cloud. Meet two telecom industry leaders who enjoy talking about tips and tricks in the unified communication space. Meet contemporary guests who share even more actionable takeaways. And now, your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
I think we said that together. Perhaps you want me to sing?
I would love. Nothing more would make me happier than for you to sing.
So, fantastic.
You are joined by the fantastic Sir Graham Potter. Are you a knight?
I am. I am a knight.
Just not like an official.
Not an official one, no.
Joined by Graham Potter, our the chief knowledge officer at Star to Star, product officer, knowledge. It changes a lot.
Titles don't mean much to me, David. You know that.
And I am David Portnowitz, the chief marketing officer at Star to Star. So we're going to be coming to you frequently with podcasts from all sorts of industry veterans talking about what's going on in the unified communication space, what's happening in the cloud business communications area. And we're going to be talking to all sorts of guests really about sort of what's happening in the industry, what are they seeing, what are relevant trends, and really trying to help you, the partner, out, what can you do to sell more UC? What can you do
to... Yeah, I think what I'm hoping this becomes is another source of information for people. Great. The type of guests that we're going to get on, people like, analysts, but also we're going to have some vendors on as well, I think. And I think it should be, we're going to mix it up a bit. Thought leaders, people that really help drive this wonderful industry that we're part of. So I'm really pleased and excited to be part of this. And
why don't you talk a little bit about your background, because it's varied. You've gone mountain climbing.
Do we have to? What, on the mountains of Kilimanjaro?
Of Kilimanjaro, as I also tease, Graham.
So me, I guess the easiest way to look at me, apart from being an Englishman, and you thought I came from Chicago, didn't you? But
do you have a favorite football team?
No, I don't. I'm one of the few Brits that's not really aligned to soccer. I played rugby as a youngster until I got kicked in the head, and that probably explains a lot about about the way I am. But apart from that, I'm a native of the UK. Came to the States in '98. Joined what was the
that
post
was
office?
1898.
David, you're I'm not beyond giving you a tap, but. I came to the States '98 with the family, but prior to that, I joined what was the post office in the 4th of October 1971. So it just proves my memory is pretty good for an old guy. The post office that then became British Telecom.
Oh, that wasn't a band. It was like a band.
Yeah, it was a band. I'm playing a band as well. I'm a musician.
I know that. That was it's a British rock band from the 70s.
So all those years ago, I worked for British Telecom, and I worked my way through that into different parts of the industry, and then got very involved in the contact center world in '92 with an American startup called Aspect Telecommunications. And that was my, anybody knows anything about my background, that was my start into that world. But I've been through, multiple different companies, and then obviously coming to the States and then working for Rockwell. I took on a worldwide role there, running a very large team of people. And, it's just an interesting. And then I'd retired. I actually, when we sold that business in 2004, I kind of semi-retired, moved here from Chicago, moved to Florida.
Here being
close to this area. And then I met Norm and our original
Norm
president
Worthington,
of the company,
yeah.
Norm Worthington, in 2006. So one of the very early members of Star to Star when we were something like 12 people. And it's been a wonderful wild ride ever since. So, David, you're a young guy, so why don't you, you're probably going to take 10 seconds to tell me.
Yeah, I don't have much to talk about. I just finished daycare last week.
You did? Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
So I've been here at Star to Star for almost 4 years now, which seems crazy to me. But I actually went to school I was in sports. Went to school for sport marketing, got out of school, worked at IMG, which is probably the world's largest talent agency, professional sports licensing marketing company. Worked for them here in Bradenton at IMG Academy, and I was there for 7-8 years doing marketing, working on the digital side.
Sponsor really, Formula One cars, I believe, IMG as well. I seem to remember seeing their logo on some cars.
They sponsor
any,
but they're probably involved in the licensing. Yeah. I know that they get involved in a lot of that. And sports has always been, sports and technology really always been my passion. Growing up, my dad was, seemed like always on the forefront. He was, you know, buying an HD TV before anybody else.
I bet your dad plays tennis, doesn't he?
He loves tennis.
Yeah, how did I know that?
Because you are you're a knight.
I'm connected. Yeah.
But, you know, he always, when we were growing up, we always like the first kids on the block to get the internet, to have an HDTV. So he was always an early adopter. And I think that sort of drove my love of technology and sports. And so got into the sports world, did that for 7-8 years, B2C, really focused on driving through digital. And then I came over to Star to Star in 2013. Been here ever since. And I love it here. It's great. And I love this space. It's very dynamic. Fast-moving area. You know, we see a ton of mergers and acquisitions, and we see the space is really moving very quickly into different areas. So it's an exciting time in the UC area. So
how many years total have you been in? I'm just trying to get a handle on it because
graduated.
It's like chalk and cheese, a little large here. So
I graduated in 2005, so I've only been this is my 12th year.
You're a real young guy.
2005, so you would have been like.
So I'm 46 years.
You're not 46 years old.
No, I wish I was. I wish I was 46 years old. But no, I've been doing this for 46 years. So
46
years.
It's
unbelievable, isn't it? Incredible.
Wow.
That's scary.
I'm only 33.
I know.
Yeah.
You are a young guy, though. Good-looking young guy. But
I wouldn't go that far.
Anyway, it's great to be here. Great to be working with you on this. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to get some really super guests on. And, I think this should be very informative for our audience, hopefully.
Yeah, and today's first guest is going to be Blair Pleasant. So, Blair, you guys will get to know her in a minute. But if you don't know her, I mean, she is a fantastic guest. She's the president and a principal analyst over at Comfusion, and ucstrategies.com is her website. And she does tremendous work. And she's going to be talking to us a lot about user adoption in the UC space. And I can't stress how important this is to our partner community because, you know, without the user adoption,
waste of time, waste of money, and why bother? Why bother doing
it? You're not going to get that re-up. You're not going to get that recurring revenue.
She's a good source of info. I've known Blair for many years, and I knew her from my Rockwell days. But there's a lot of good information out there you'll find from Blair, a lot of papers that she's written, podcasts, and, encourage you to follow some of that. So
and the VoIP space, like I was saying, is expanding so fast, it's really hard to keep up with. I mean, they are, this projected to have 1 billion VoIP users by the end of this year. I mean, that is a ridiculous stat. So there are a ton of people out there that are making that switch from the traditional landline.
We see, some of the youngsters growing up are never going to know what a landline was. You look at it, it's about 700,000 landline customers being lost on average every month. I mean, it's just blows your mind when you think about it. I grew up with a little old dial phone, like a lot of you probably wouldn't remember that, David, but just incredible to think how technology's moved in our lifetime in a way. And I, from a technology standpoint, I grew up through the real old clunkety click stuff that probably is in the Smithsonian Museum today. Some of those old early Strouger switches through crossbar into electronic, and now into the age of IP is just, I'm proud actually to say that I've been a part of all those different technologies over the years and have seen them all. So it's moving so fast. Incredible.
Yeah, and with that fast moving, with that pace, it is hard to keep up with what's next. And I think that's where learning and keeping on trend is really, really important. Right. And we've seen what that's done to some of the companies in the industry, the big guys like Toshiba.
Some of them just dropping
Avaya
off the map.
Yeah, really struggling.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really, we've seen that and convergence of a lot of these companies as well. So, looking at some of the metrics that are out there, there's about 1 billion VoIP users by the end of 2017. That's incredible.
It's
absolutely amazing.
So if you're coming, if you're a Toshiba partner, if you're an Avaya partner, and you're coming from that space, what can you do? I mean, you have to move to the cloud. I mean, you can't stay on that.
Where else would you go? You got nowhere else.
You've been in that space for probably 25, 30 years, and that's what you're used to, and that's been your bread
and
butter.
I think that's why it's so important that, we're a software company, really, at the end of the day, and so you can make software do anything, but the important thing is to accommodate that marketplace as well. And those people that are coming off those traditional systems, those squared key systems, for a good example, is we should never lose sight as a company that's advancing rapidly with all of this software of some of those features that those customers and those companies are very reliant upon.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that's important for us is how do you align that, and how do you make sure you can emulate some of those things that are still very important to those companies today,
yeah,
but using a new technology in the cloud.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta mix a little bit of like what you're used to with what is coming. You know,
yep.
You've got to be able to, you know, give the customer, you know, the traditional things that they're used to, but you've also got to teach them of what's coming. You've got to give them a primer for what's on. You know, you almost gotta sometimes. You know, they say the customer is always right. Sometimes the customer doesn't know what they're looking for.
No, that's very important that you kind of, and I always think when you look at, and we've done this from when we started this business, is not try and shoehorn a company into the new technologies, mm-hmm. really try and understand their business, understand what they do, and make sure that you can perhaps better the way they're operating as a business by using greater or newer technologies.
You've got to be consultative.
I think so.
Yeah,
I really think so. So looking at some other metrics in the marketplace that I found fascinating that, you know, it's projected that VoIP services market will expand 10% every year until 2021. I mean, that's kind of huge.
Yeah.
It's on a roll.
It certainly is. But, I mean, there's no other way. I mean, what is the other option? I mean, there isn't. And, you know, the other thing you see, too, and we'll talk to this in future episodes, is, you know, what does that mean for the desk phone? What does that mean for mobility? What does that mean for security? What does that mean for enablement platforms? I mean, there's so much out there in this space that is really coming. So, you know, we're excited about this podcast. We think it's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun. Graham and I have a great rapport. We're going to joke. We might be a little bit cursed sometimes, but
I don't think so.
No.
I'm a
proper English.
I am. I'm a gentleman.
I am American. So
I speak the Queen's English.
Oh, you speak the Queen's.
So
let's hear from our first guest, Blair Pleasant. She's going to take us through, and we will see you on the other side.
Bring it on, Blair. Today I'm excited to announce a guest that's joining us, somebody that I've known for a number of years, I believe, and this is Blair Pleasant, who's the President and Principal Analyst of Confusion LLC, and she's also the co-founder of ucstrategies.com, which if anybody out there didn't know, is a really great industry resource for that wonderful area that we work in of unified communications. So Blair provides a lot of consulting and marketing research and analysis on voice and data convergence markets, applications, technologies, and really helping end users and vendor clients to make decisions and helping them for their business strategy.
And so we've used her in the past. We've had Blair on with our partners and our salespeople here.
We recently, actually not that long ago, had a webinar session with Blair on there. So prior to Confusion, Blair was Director of Communications Analysis for the Pelorus Group, which is a market research and consulting firm. So Blair, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Be great if you could just give a very quick update on your bio and the you know, a little bit about yourself would be great.
Sure, thanks, Graham. So you mentioned UC Strategies, and it's interesting because we're actually in the process of changing UC Strategies to what we're calling BC Strategies, or Business Communication Strategies, because we're finding sometimes the UC term isn't resonating with everybody, and we want it to be a little more generic, and business communications encompasses a lot more than just unified communications. You know, it's contact center, it's moving into the world of IoT and everything else that businesses are going to be using. So we're sort of expanding in that area, which makes sense as things evolve. You know, you have to keep up with the times.
Yeah, I'm sure. So how long has UC Strategies been around, Blair? You're one of the co-founders of that, I see.
It's been a while, really, since the beginning of UC, and we helped to come up with the definitive definition of unified communications back in the day when everyone was coming up with their own thing. So it's been about 10 years or so, and we've really grown and expanded since then. We've added some new UC experts. So basically, we're a group of independent analysts and consultants who help to really educate and inform the market about what's going on out there. And we do weekly podcasts. We have articles and blogs and webinars, and just trying to help people understand what's going on out there so they can make better informed decisions.
Yeah, so for folks that are listening to this broadcast, I'd highly recommend you visit ucstrategies.com. It's a website with a whole world of information. As Blair said, there's a lot of information there about different analysts, but there's some great material. There's some podcasts. I've listened to several myself. But the other big thing that I really enjoy about about UC Strategies is the fact that they do like a daily update, like a news alert. So if you want to stay connected to this wonderful world of communications and UC&C that we're a part of, sign up to it. It's right there on the front page of the website. Put your details in, and you'll get, like I do, a daily update on the marketplace, and you'll get to hear about things that really happen out there. So, Blair, from your point of view, and we'll talk a little bit about UC&C. Why is user adoption of UC&C very, very important, do you think?
Yeah, this is something I've been talking about for quite a while now, and really, what it's all about is the fact that adoption drives usage, and that leads to a better return on investment. So if companies don't get the usage that they expected or the adoption that they expected, they don't get the ROI that they wanted. So it's really important for channel partners to have happy customers and satisfied customers. It's really important to help make sure that the customers get that expected ROI and that they keep buying and expanding. Also, when users are given communication tools that they don't need or that they don't understand, they'll deploy their own tools, and we've seen this a lot, and this leads to, you know, the whole area of shadow IT and also security and compliance issues, and especially if employees are deploying consumer-grade tools that aren't meant for businesses. So it really is important for companies to focus not just on the technology, but really about people using the technology that's being deployed and really increasing that adoption.
Sure. So why do you think, you know, usage and adoption in some cases, I guess, is going to be lower than others?
Yeah, well, we've all heard that famous line from the movie Field of Dreams: if you build it, they will come. And we found that that's really not the case for UCC. And just because you deploy it doesn't mean people are going to use it. And there's lots of different reasons, and it's going to vary from company to company, but one reason we found adoption might be low is if people aren't trained on it. And, you know, everyone says, well, I use my iPhone without being trained on it. And yeah, that's great, but there's really, you know, we're talking about more complex technology with lots and lots of features and capabilities and different things going on. So it really is important to focus on training and how to use the technology, and then also why they're using the technology. You know, if people don't understand why you're implementing this new technology, they might be resistant. So it's important to understand the why and the how. Also, we find that sometimes adoption is low if the system or service doesn't provide the capabilities and features that people are used to and that they've been using and that they want to use. So if it doesn't provide that, then again, these users are going to bring in their own solutions, like, you know, consumer grade messaging apps or something. So I really recommend that companies survey and talk to their end users before purchasing and deploying a new technology. So for channel partners who are listening to this, I really recommend working with your customers to make sure that they understand what their customers and users need, and help provide them with the right solution and the right capabilities that they need and that they're looking for.
So if, you know, what we're seeing is a mass transition of partners that are coming from, you know, the traditional hardware folks like Toshiba and Avaya, and they're coming into the UC space, and, you know, they are looking to go to that MSP model. And, you know, part of that model is to provide yourself with a steady stream of recurring revenue. So, and user adoption is incredibly important to ensuring you get that contract signed year over year, or, you know, every 3 years or every 5 years. So how do they ensure, you know, what training methodologies do they put in place for their customers so that they're going to continue to sign that contract and really continue to use all that UC functionality that you're talking about?
Yeah, so there's a couple different things to focus on. So first is end user training, which I can spend a bit of time talking about. But it's also about helping them understand, you know, collaboration and changing their corporate culture. So for people to use it, they really need to understand how it helps them do their jobs better, how it makes them more productive and effective, how it helps them save time and lets them make faster and better decisions. So end users really need to understand the what's in it for me so that they'll be more inclined to use the UCC service and use more of its features and capabilities. And that way, you know, the more people use it, the more value they're going to get from it. So one thing we find is that UCC is very viral, you know, especially when we're talking about collaboration. You know, you can't just collaborate with yourself. You need to, you know, involve your coworkers. And the more people that are involved in the collaborative process, the more effective it's going to be. So it really does become viral. So people invite others to, you know, join a web conferencing session or a collaborative session. So more and more people see the value, and then they're like, oh, wow. So, I see, you know, all these great things that I can do with it. And they're going to be more likely to use it. And then other people in the organization are going to be more likely to use it. And then as the company grows and expands, all those other people are also going to be using this. So it's really about, you know, the culture and the collaborative environment. But it's also about understanding that they're not just replacing one PBX with another. It really does change the way you work, and also understanding what goes along with it. So like with UCC, your presence and availability is exposed, and that can be uncomfortable for some people. So again, they have to understand the real value and the benefit. So it's not about just, you know, I'm getting this new, you know, IP/PBX system that's in the cloud. It's really about understanding the value and the benefit that they get from it, and showing them how it helps them save time and get better results.
Sure. So as a company owner, Blair, when should I start thinking about user adoption programs and strategies?
Yeah, this is a really important question. It's not something that you do once the system or service is deployed. Customers really have to start developing their usage and adoption programs and strategies at the same time that they're making the decision to get the UCC system or service. And like I said, you want to make sure that the service has all the features and capabilities that your customers are using currently and that they want to use and that it's important to them. So you have to really talk to your end users early on and uncover what their needs are. When I talk to companies about developing their strategies, I always say that it's important to design the UCC service offering with users in mind and to engage with the users really early on to ensure that good adoption. And also one thing that's important that people forget about, during that purchase cycle, make sure that there's budget for training and for user adoption program. And so many companies don't think about this, and then they find out that they don't have any budget for training, and that can be a big issue. And we find that if companies wait until the new service is deployed to start focusing on adoption, they're going to get a lot more resistance. So it really is important to get people invested in the new service even before it's rolled out. So as soon as you're making the decision, that's when you should be thinking about user adoption.
Sure.
So if you're, you know, if you're coming into it and you're selling a company a new UC system, are there methods, are there things that you have seen certain partners do to ensure the customers are happy, ensure that they get high user adoption? Are there any strategies you've seen them sort of take to the customer and really roll with, you know, and they can sort of roll that out in every customer they use?
Yeah, well, I've actually developed a six-step process for building user adoption, and I've given, you know, presentations about this at Enterprise Connect and at the UC Strategies, or now the BC Summit, where a lot of sellers have heard this. So hopefully some of them are using it with their customers. But so looking at this six-step process, so the first thing, like I mentioned, it really starts with designing the product or service with users in mind and surveying end users to understand their needs and what they're currently using, their communication habits, and so on. And then the next thing is focusing on evangelizing and getting that executive sponsorship. And it's really important for companies to form sponsorship teams, and this should also include people from the lines of business. So it's not just, you know, the CIO and the people in IT, but you really need to include, you know, the head of sales, the head of marketing, and end users in those organizations. We also talk about leaders leading by example. So like one CEO I spoke to, he told people in his company that if they wanted to have a call with him, then it had to be using video. So he's really, you know, showing them, you know, this is the new way that we're going to be communicating.
And they could gamify some of that as well, too, you know, reward people for that behavior and provide some, points for things and things like that.
Make it a bit more fun.
Yeah, try to, like, you know, keep a leaderboard, things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we talk about identifying change agents and people within the company who can be advocates for the benefits of the UC solution. And it doesn't have to just be the tech people. It can be, you know, in some companies we found that it was the admins because they got a lot of benefit from it. So they started using a lot and they really started evangelizing some of the benefits. Some of the other steps, like I talked about, is creating that collaborative culture. And again, this has to come from the top. And you know, really focusing on that collaboration expert experience and helping people understand why that's so important. Also things like internal marketing and promotion of the new service. This is something I've seen some really good examples where companies have, you know, put posters around the office or they've had, you know, lunches where they say, you know, something new and exciting is coming and they've made games about it. So really trying to make it fun and something that people are looking forward to. Again, you have to overcome some of that initial reluctance and really make this a positive experience.
Sure.
And training, like I talked about, is very important, and that's part of that overall program. And then the last thing is monitoring and refinement. So helping companies track the UC features that are being adopted by end users. So let's say you see, you know, some important capabilities aren't being used, like video or advanced mobility. Maybe you need to offer training videos on those capabilities. And also working with your customers to look at their business metrics. So it's not just about usage, but finding out, you know, is customer sat being increased? Is the time to market being decreased based on what some of the initial goals are? So really looking at some of those metrics and finding out how you can improve things using UCC. And then going back and refining your training methods. So if you find that, you know, mobility isn't being used, maybe you need to, you know, work on your training for mobility and help people understand that a little bit better.
And I think it all goes back to that, you know, for the MSP or for that partner, it all goes back to ensuring the customer is happy. And if you can come in here and do some of these things and you can help be that change agent and provide some of those resources and sort of teach, you know, or provide, you know, give some tips and tricks on how to increase adoption from the start.
Better success.
Yeah,
rate,
you're going to have great success down the road. I mean, it's only going to benefit you, you know, 3-6 years from now. I mean, so you have to look at it from more of a long-term perspective. And I think that's where sometimes folks get caught up as they're trying to get that sale through. And you know, what's really beneficial is that recurring revenue. So if they can get the high user adoption from the start, then the system sort of becomes part of the business and it becomes so important to the business, they can't run without it. And I think that's where you see the most successful partners.
Yeah, and so many times we see people just focusing on, you know, getting the technology working and getting, you know, the technology up and running, but that's just one aspect of it, and the MSPs really need to focus on that user and adoption because that's going to help lead to greater success than just focusing on making the technology work.
Very good. Did you have any other questions, Doug?
Yeah. So you know, from a training perspective, are there methods that you have seen that work better than others? Do you know? I know one of the questions that we get a lot of times from our partners is, you know, is it a video instruction? Is it an LMS training? Is it an in-person lunch and learn?
Is anyone better than
another? Yeah, I mean, is anything work better than anything else that you've seen?
It's a hard question to ask because it's going to vary from company to company. So I've seen some things work in one company that didn't work in another. You know, some people really like train the trainer and other people find that in their organization that doesn't really work. So the one thing that really is important to focus on is the timing of training. So I always talk about doing training before, during, and after. So like an initial round of training is going to get people going, but until they're really using the system or the service, they don't know what they're confused about or where they might need new help. So it's important to get people started with training, but then do some follow-up. And that follow-up can be, you know, online videos. It can be, you know, having a go-to person. It can be having an FAQ. And some people like doing lunch and learns, you know, just brown bag lunches where people can come in with their questions. So there are so many different ways to do training. And like I said, there's no one way that's better for others. It's really going to depend on the company, the size of the company, and what the culture is like. Obviously, if you can do, you know, hands-on training and have people in, you know, a classroom type setting, that's going to work really well. But for some companies, that's just, you know, not really practical. But definitely having online video tutorials that people can go to, you know, when they have a problem or when they have time, that seems to be one of the best practices I've seen. Peer-to-peer training can sometimes work, and train-the-trainer, like I said, sometimes work. There's really no one right way. So I really recommend offering a variety of solutions. And like those of us who have kids, we know that there are different learning styles. And, you know, like one child might learn really well from listening, another might learn really well from reading. So we have to take different learning styles into account also. So if you just offer, you know, one style, that's maybe not going to work with someone who, you know, has another style of learning. So that variety of that, I think, is really important. And also make sure that the training is part of the onboarding process for new employees. So I know that's not as important for the partners, but it's important for them to get across to the end customer that training on the system has to be part of the new employee onboarding process, because sometimes I find that it's not, and that's, you know,
yeah, that's great advice too. I mean, and I know that if you bring some free food, like some pizza, or you bring a little Chick-fil-A, I'd be down.
We'd be there.
You like the Indian food though.
I do like Indian food. Well, Blair knows I like Indian food. Oh, Blair, yeah. She can see me on Facebook. I've got nowhere to hide. So.
You're always eating in that Indian food. So you bring a little Indian food, a little pizza. You get people up, show up for training.
We'll be there. So this is really valuable stuff, Blair, and we very, very much appreciate you joining us. And just for the folks out there listening to this broadcast, really, really want to make sure that you visit www.ucstrategies.com. You're going to find a lot of information on there. As I said, you can sign up to the daily updates, yeah, and news alerts. Very important. And also www.comfusion.com. Blair also tweets on Twitter as Blair Plez, that's BlairPlez. And you can also find her on Facebook and LinkedIn. So you're pretty well connected. You're all over the place, Blair. And we quite often see you at trade shows, and I quite often hear your voice, certainly on podcasts, because I'm a pretty regular visitor to the UC Strategies website.
Do you have a new website coming with your new name and everything?
Yeah, it's going to be bcstrategies.com, but it's right now it's in beta, but people will be directed there from UC Strategies. So
okay.
For now, go to UC Strategies, and then they'll be directed to the new website. Will just happen.
Wow. Well, thanks for joining us today, Blair. I appreciate you giving us the time today. I know you're especially because you're on vacation maybe today. So I appreciate you giving us a little bit extra time and talking to us and helping our listeners out. So really appreciate it today, Blair.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye bye.
We were just joined by Blair Pleasant of ucstrategies.com, and she was a fantastic guest. I know that, Graham, you have known Blair for a long time.
Yeah,
probably,
I have.
Like, I don't know.
I can't remember now. It was back to my Rockwell days. So
is it you're senile or no?
No, it's because I'm old.
Oh, okay.
It's because I'm older than you. And I want to get this out in the open right now. This Heads in the Cloud, the caricatures that we've done for the designers. So I want to say a big thank you to your marketing team for putting me there with the guy on the right with the spiky hair, which has got black spiky hair, because I haven't seen black spiky hair.
Yeah, there's a little salt and pepper up there.
In many, many years. So,
yeah. And I appreciate it too, because they definitely helped out my nose.
They got your profile right.
About half the size of it.
Yeah, so Blair was great. Some great industry insight there. And as I said many times on the broadcast, that, you know, there's a lot of good information out there to look at blogs and articles.
Yeah.
And I'd recommend people, if you want to stay informed and connected to this marketplace, that's the place to go. Go to ucstrategies.com.
And she has a ton of resources for MSPs, for partners that are looking for.
Yep.
Her really special
specialty is in that user adoption space, and she loves that area. So if you're out there and you're selling and you're trying to get customers to continue to re-up, I mean, you've got to get them ingrained in the process so that the UC functionality becomes so integral to what they're doing that they can't imagine being away from it. So the more you can help them out, increase user adoption, drive drive those sort of change agents across the company, the better off you're going to be in the long run.
Yeah, she's just a wealth of information with it. And she's had a great background. I mean, she's over 20 years of experience, and, you know, she's been around the space for many years. She's involved in contact center as well. She's got a good background there. And way back to, CTI, the computer telephony integration. So, you know, her background is very broad. So,
well, she was a great guest, and thank everybody for listening today.
And on to the next one.
Yeah, this has been Heads in the Cloud with Graham Potter and David Portnowitz. I remember you can find us online at www.headsinthecloudpod.com, also on Twitter at HeadsCloud and Facebook at HeadsCloud. You can email us too at connect@headsinthecloudpod.com. And remember, if you are out there in the iTunes store or the Google Play store, to review, love it, like it. That's just going to help us get our word out to more and more followers. And as always, our episode today is sponsored by Star to Star Communications, the world's leader in full-spectrum communications. Thanks, and
we'll catch you next time.
Have a good one.
Have a good one. Bye-bye now.
We would like to thank our executive producer, Frederick Weiss, along with our supervising producer, Les Freed,
audio genius,
and all-around good guy, Les Freed, for helping us with these podcasts.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you,
guys.
Thank you very much.